I think we still have to have an authentic touch, right? So taking it back to recruiting, which you've been talking about, you know, I can go to ChatGPT and tell it to write a job description for us. Yes. And quite frankly, it'll get probably 80 to 90% correct, you know, just like that, right? And yet it's important for us to make sure that still the Crocs Inc., you know, who are we? What do we believe in? Why is this role differentiated? You've got to add that human touch to that type of content. And so I think, you know, I'm sure as individuals and as organizations, we're going to go through some wins and losses with this artificial intelligence.
Now, there's two things right there I want to highlight for the listeners. This is really a good pause moment. for any aspiring entrepreneurs, two key things right there. Number one, double timed it for a while. Nights and weekends,
figure it out.
Extra, you know, had to double time it. So there's some double timing it in there. That's number one. Number two, 5,000 outreaches to get five clients. Like, anytime I hear somebody say, you know, they're struggling to get business, whatever.
Again, my litmus test is you can either get into a plane after another one has been shot down in combat, or you cannot.
And I think, you know, what really is something special at Conception is that every cultivar, every plant we sell, we pay a breeder for it. And so it's very important for us to get to know these breeders and to make sure that not only are they paid, but they're also recognized for the work that they do. These breeders are spending a lot of time to put out, you know, really exceptional plants. And we want to encourage not just giving them credit, not just making sure they're getting paid, but really encourage innovation. And so we do that by being breeder agnostic and approaching, you know, well-known, well-hyped breeders and saying, listen, you know, you've got a great name. You're putting out some excellent plants. We want to work with you on a pheno hunt and go through and look at your what you're hunting this year. And we want to be able to pick, you know, items, and we'd love to get an exclusive on it, and we'll pay you a royalty.
Yeah. And I, you know, anyone, you know, anyone at the company that works here, I guess, could figure, you know, what they can know what I make, and they could listen to this podcast, I don't keep it a secret. Right. But it was like 50, I think it was 52,000 for several years. And then I've kind of given myself bumps over the last maybe 3 years.
That's nice. Yeah, that's good. It's good. It's good. You're showing your pay, and you're paying your engineers a lot more than that, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, right. And so that's, I think that's motivating for people. I think it's important, and you know, it's on you to sacrifice. If it's your baby, you've got to be the one sacrificing, right?
Because and so I think she kind of got accustomed that risk analysis is part of our life. Like I'm not kidding. I make her to write decision trees for where to celebrate daughter's birthday, or for like all the different things she calls me. Like she calls me and says like, what should I do? There's that and that. Like, should I go for the, for example, should I go for the competition in spring, or should I go for the competition in autumn? I'm going, I have no idea. Build a tree and see what the kind of, apply the risk analysis techniques to your decision and see what that tells you. And sometimes she tells me to get lost, and sometimes she does it.
You know, she had all the fortitude. She was smart. She was relentless. And she was dedicated to, you know, to me. I mean, she put me in every damn lesson I can think of. I played every sport. I did, you know, she made me go to art lessons and music lessons and all the stuff that every kid who plays sports hates. But she refused to not let me be well-rounded. And, you know, she, who I am today is a reflection of who she was as a person. So, and you did a great job of ferreting all the information out of me, because I don't talk about that a lot. But yeah, she really was, she was dedicated to you know, raising her son right. And she did, and hopefully she did a good job.
Well, they'll just be like, no, they won't kick me out, but they'll just be like, we're not interested at all. And they just can't handle the energy and that momentum. They find it's gimmicky, or like, you know, like not real, but yet it's actually authentic. Like, if you actually get to know me on a personal level, you'll see I'm this way every day.
Are you that way at home?
Yeah. My fiance, you know, she actually gets the calm side of me because I'm so exhausted, but she knows that I'm that like showman all the time, you know. That's who I am. I enjoy it. That's what gives me life. It gives me energy, momentum, fun. And it's like caffeine. It's like natural caffeine for me.
Yeah, that's right. And so without, you know, blowing their cover entirely, I think essentially the bet that they're making is that by doing this, they'll be able to make clients happy, so make employers happy, by lowering premiums a certain small percentage. but that the medical cost reduction is greater than the, you know, small percentage of discount that they're able to give on the premium, and then the rest of that savings goes into the hands of the insurance.
I wanted a product that was big enough to fit most body types. Our barrel is 105 gallons, whereas if you go to like a Tractor Supply, they're all 55 gallons. Well, what most people don't realize is you can't, like, I'm only 5'7", I can't get in a 55 gallon drum. Like, there's not enough room in there for my knees, right? So there were barriers to entry to just other than like a family bathtub, right? Or a horse trough. So I wanted something that was big enough, something that was sustainable. So our product is made, our black barrel is made from 100% recycled materials.
The other one you did recently about working from home, an update. Yeah. And you made this statement that really spoke to me about you don't have to be up in your or down in your office at home with your fingers on the keyboards every second. But Steve, here we are, Gen X types. And I'm curious if you felt the same way at all. Well, you were CEO, but I wasn't in this role. I had a boss and a couple of bosses. But I felt very, it was very Microsoft Teams dominated. The bell could ding at any second with the boss wanting something or calling you, you know. And I just felt like a prisoner in this little home office that I adore. I hated it in here. I felt like a prisoner in my own home.
Yeah, that sucks. And anybody listening to this podcast that's driving that kind of culture, you really should check yourself, right? Because that is not the kind of work from home culture you want. I tell my team, we got about 30 people involved and about 15 full-time, 15 part-time. And I just, my general motto is this. I'm like, look, I do not care when you work and I don't care where you work from. Just get the job done.